Today on The Journey.
Gretchen, I want you to think about sitting across from a person. They have lived your story and they're now divorced and their kids are struggling. Talk to them about the importance of walking your children through forgiveness.
How do the children of divorce process the confusing and conflicting emotions that tear at their heart? What can you say to them that will restore a lost relationship and keep them close to God? With those questions in view, Ron Moore continues a conversation with special guest Gretchen. In the story of her troubled marriage, you'll learn how God shows up in the most unexpected ways. Just before that, I want you to know about our free offer for this series. It's the booklet titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. You can order it at ronmoore.org. And I'll tell you more about it after the message. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part two of their conversation titled, Divorce in Real Life, On the Journey.
Gretchen, how did you keep the bitterness away during this time? How did you keep from coming to that point where you said, I am done, it's over, I'm moving on? Because you had a lot of people telling you that, move on with your life, and yet there's still something within you that says, I'm not giving up until God makes it crystal clear.
And that's exactly why. Until he makes it crystal clear, you don't want to miss on what he has. Mm-hmm. And we did pray for him all the time, and the scriptures that the Lord gave us was Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And in that is our healing. He may not be changed, but we are changed. And I can say that to anybody. You will be changed as you pray for someone because God promises it.
We talked about the importance of having Christian friends, and that's critical, and having them support you and help you. But you've said something that I think is so important for us to stress. When people rally around us and they love us and care for us, they love us so much that they want the best for us. And sometimes they see the best for us through their eyes. And so Christian friends can come and say, you ought to be out of that marriage.
Yeah.
Forget it and move on. And they're well-meaning, but you make this point, Gretchen, while you appreciated their friendship and you needed them around, your final authority was always the Word of God. Talk about a person who's having to make this hard decision. They have people around them. These people care for them. These people want them to move on with their life. And yet, even getting advice from people who care for us and that we're depending on, we still have to have God's Word as that final authority.
Yes. I actually went to a singles support group when I was in the other state, and Christian, there wasn't a person there that didn't say to me, dump him, get rid of him, and get on with your life. And I just looked at him, I said, where do you see that in the Bible? Instead, it says, seek to reconcile if you can. And, and at that point, I didn't know if we could or not, if it would ever happen. But you can't just cut and run. It's not bringing glory to God. And there were platforms where I could speak to people over those years.
As we've said in the sermon series, there are biblical reasons for divorce. Adultery. Your husband was with another person, and so there was that. There's desertion by a non-believer. You could argue that one as well. And yet, we never counsel for divorce because of just what you said. God can always restore. He can always rebuild.
Yes.
Well, it didn't work out, did it?
No.
And so finally, you knew God was telling you to move on. Divorce came. There's still interaction a little bit with the kids. Let's move to the kids now. Gretchen, I hear people saying, you know, kids are resilient. They move on. And sometimes you'll see kids in war-torn countries and they're laughing and playing, even among the destruction. And so we say, look at the kids. They don't even know what's going on. But they do know what's going on. And let's talk about the impact that this situation had on your children.
Well, if I'd be allowed, I'd like to read a couple lines that my son wrote after we left, went to another state. Long years after his father died, he felt the urge to write down his thoughts. His first one he wrote was called Falling Out. He said, when I turned 24, I finally had a falling out with my father. Finally, I say, because somehow I'd missed decades of reasons to have it earlier, which means that when it came hard. It sounds so immature now, but immediately after, I drafted a letter to him that ended with a tale of hundreds of exclamation marks as if I had fallen asleep on the keyboard. It was an unremarkable swinging of the bat to the tree, but an expression nonetheless that symbolized emotional history that was yet hidden. I deleted the file before sending it. Then I did something more mature. I ignored him and hated him quietly. I had for years placed my frustrations with Dad behind an emotional firewall as if a psychological path had allowed me to avoid seeing any of the chaos that surrounded him. A friend might ask, how do you think your parents' divorce affected you? And I'd say, it didn't. Until a month before this happened, I actually believed that. You know, when you're 12, you realize your parents are in trouble, but you don't know everything. You can't. The issues are too complex, so you make assumptions. I assumed that we had left because my father screamed and drank himself out of control and Mom couldn't bear it anymore. My mother said we left because of me. His temper began having quite an effect on you. It was manageable as long as I was a victim, but you got involved. Don't you remember threatening to kill him if he touched me? I did remember. And then he finally says, grace comes because of our demons in pain, not in their absence.
So even after all those years, it didn't go away, did it?
No, it did not. It got worse. He, in his 20s, before he got married, began to be angry and began to realize what his father had done. And he went and confronted him, which I think is helpful. To say what you've thought and what's been in your heart. And who knows, but that may not have an effect on the parent. Every one of them did at one time or another. They went and confronted him. But we continue to pray, forgiveness, forgiveness. You must forgive because the unforgiveness destroys you, not the other person.
Gretchen, you talk a lot about God-given forgiveness. Sometimes I think a lot of people feel like they have to somehow produce this forgiveness in their heart for this other person. That's just impossible.
Yes.
That forgiveness has to come from God. And so our prayer is, God, give me the forgiveness I need for this person. Talk a little bit about that God-given forgiveness.
As you said, we cannot work that up on our own. Our human tendencies are, oh, I wish he could get the shaft like he's given me, or she, you know, could be the other way around. I don't want things to work out for him. And when things are working out, it seems, the tendency is to become bitter because you're struggling and suffering and he seems to be getting away with it. But the Bible is very clear. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And I think somehow over those years, I knew that somehow it's all going to come to an end with him. God is going to bring judgment on him. And I didn't even pray for that. In fact, for many years, I prayed Joel 2:25 for him, that the Lord would restore the years the locust had eaten in his life, because he had had a lot of issues. And I did pray that. And when you pray for someone, you cannot be bitter. But that only comes from God.
Gretchen, I want you to think about sitting across from a person. They have lived your story, and they're now divorced, and their kids are struggling. They're struggling with forgiveness. They're struggling with bitterness. And that person is feeling the same things, and there's almost the desire for their kids to continue to hate their father, because that's the temporal justification we have for that. And they're feeling like, you know, if my child would forgive their dad, there would almost be a betrayal to them, the parent that stayed there and working with them and provided for them, if they would in any way forgive and even reach out to this person who had hurt them so much. Talk to that person and talk to them about the importance of walking your children through forgiveness, because your ex-husband was not feeling the bitterness of your kids.
Right.
That was eating them up from inside.
Right. In divorce care, we talked about praying for them is not saying they didn't do anything wrong. You're not justifying what they did wrong. You're forgiving them because God said to, and because it will heal you. I saw that. I had parents that lived through bitterness. I saw what it did to their life, saw what it did to their health, and what it did to us as children. And I thought, I will not do that again. And so I would speak to them when they were angry, and I would say, go talk to him. But you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Yes, he caused all this. Yes, you know, we're suffering because of him. But we still have to forgive. And I would say that to someone, no matter what. I would say, you must forgive. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need forgiveness on a daily basis. That was my need all the time.
Talk about how your kids work through these emotions.
In the last couple of years of his life, he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. And he was put in a nursing home. And I was out of state, and the 4 older ones were living here. Well, there was no one to care for him but them. And they didn't want it. While he was in the nursing home, one of my children called me and said, I just don't want to go see him anymore. I've had enough. He never did anything for me. And I said, go to the Lord, see if that's what he's saying to you. And she read Isaiah 58, which says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. As soon as she read that, she went up to the nursing home and probably had the best visit she had with him before and after that time, where he wept and she was able to pray with him. And that was God. I couldn't have orchestrated that in a million years. My oldest daughter was given power of attorney. She had to be the contact with the doctors in the hospital. He would call her and he would say, come and fix this for me. Come and do this. And she would say, I don't want to. But she went, and the Lord met her there. And my son, he would go, and he would talk to him and pray with him and pray for him. And that was so much the Lord. And that really worked them through that time more than anything else.
Kind of a severe mercy, isn't it? God allowed them the opportunity to work through some really hard things that, had it not been for the illness, they wouldn't have wanted to do it on their own, that's for
right.
sure.
And he was self-sufficient. He was a strong man. He didn't need anybody. But then he did, and he knew he was dying. And our prayer always was that he would repent, even in that last year, and turn to the Lord. We would have a nice big gathering of all of us together. It didn't happen. But you know what? His children were around him at the end mm-hmm. of his life. And I was glad for that. I didn't want him to suffer any more than he already was.
Right. Gretchen, you say that one of the hardest things to do, but one of the most important things to do, is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But for some listening today, they're saying, man, that is my story. But I don't want to pray for this guy. He has hurt us so badly. I'm in a financial bind because mm-hmm. of him. My kids are suffering. We're on our own. Pray for him? You got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to that person.
You're not going to feel like it. But feelings are not what we run on. We have to run on what God says. If you pray God's word, you pray, bless this person, you pray, help me to forgive this person, you pray for whatever comes to your mind. Mm-hmm. And even if it's said through gritted teeth, you're still doing it. And it still will make a change in you and bring healing to you down the road. Mm-hmm. And bless them. One of the scriptures one of my children gave was, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And rain mm-hmm. fell on him. And it's in a way that I would never have imagined or ever hoped for. But it is what happened, that mm-hmm. you can still pray, and we're commanded to do it. And you can hear stories and testimonies of people in the war and, you know, Nazi Germany who prayed for their captors. It mm-hmm. is possible, but you don't want to do it.
Prayer changes us.
It does.
Gretchen, when I do a series on marriage and family, I know that there are a lot of couples out there who have gone through a divorce. Some, like you, have fought it, and they've prayed and they've sought reconciliation and they have forgiven even in the midst of unfaithfulness by the other spouse. Others, quite honestly, it's just been some irreconcilable differences mm-hmm. and it just didn't work out and we got divorced. But in all these situations, and I know this is hard for people to hear, it impacts children. And there are a lot of people who say kids are resilient. It's better that we're not together because they're not hearing the fighting and all that. And as we've said, if it's an abusive situation, you got to get them out of the danger. You've lived through this. Talk to people about the impact of divorce on children.
Well, if my children were standing right here behind me right now, they would say what I'm going to say. There is shame, there is anger, there is insecurity, there is fearfulness, there's anxiety. Those are just some of that legacy of divorce. There is a feeling that you were not worthy. There is often more broken marriages. You know, the statistics are very high for children of divorce being divorced mm-hmm. themselves. There is a fearfulness of commitment. I watched my children walk through that. They didn't want to get married. They were afraid. They had to work through that with some counseling because what if it's going to end in the same way? And you see them as the years go by. They become worse as they get older. I could justify why I left. I could give you biblical reasons. Nevertheless, my children, who all know the Lord, have struggled and still bear those scars. And I would tell someone sitting across from me, hang in there. Don't give up. Wait and wait and wait. In my case, my husband filed for divorce. There was nothing I could do. Nevertheless, your children are going to reap the consequences of that broken relationship.
Gretchen, you can sit here today years later and have the confidence of knowing you did everything you possibly could. That's honorable. And we want to encourage those listening who are right on the edge of saying, I'm out of here. As you said, hang in there. Allow God to work in your heart. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for patience. And wait, as you did, until God says, okay, that's it. Door's mm-hmm. closed. Now you have to move on. Because when you know that God is telling you to move on, there's freedom in that, isn't there?
Right. And I would say one more thing that was very, very instrumental in my life because I saw the pain they went through, and that's what your heart is, that your heart is for your children that are struggling mm-hmm. and suffering and crying and weeping, and it's not what they wanted. But I went to him and I said, I forgive you for what you've done. I knew I had to do that, and it was not received, but it mm-hmm. didn't matter. It was what God told me to do. So it was another link in all of that. And then just before he was diagnosed, all those years later, through a series of circumstances, the Lord spoke to me and said, have you asked his forgiveness? What do you mean, ask his forgiveness? For what? I did. I called him and I said, I want to ask your forgiveness for my part in the breakup of the marriage. And he said, what? I'm not going to forgive you. It didn't matter. I knew that God had let something loose in me. And right after that, he went in the nursing home and the children were able to minister to him and take care of him. And then he died. And after he died, a family member called my son and said, would you do a memorial for him? And he did. And for me to sit in that congregation and look up at my son talking about his father in his life, I can't tell you what the Lord ministered to me through that and brought about closure to him, to his sisters that took part in it. He didn't put him down. He said, my dad did things that weren't right, but there is things that I thank him for.
That said the Lord right there.
That was the Lord. And it spoke to people that had been invited that knew what mm-hmm. my ex-husband had been like and went up to him after and said, wow, thank you for doing that. That was a closure.
This forgiveness thing, it's not about another person granting or accepting forgiveness.
Right.
That's kind of the bonus part. Forgiveness is about us and the Lord. You went and he did not extend any apology to you.
No.
And yet it was God giving you freedom just by that interaction. And then when you ask his forgiveness, he wouldn't grant it. But it was God who said, you know what? You needed to do that.
Yes.
And you needed to let that go. And it was God who allowed you that freedom. So a lot of times we think forgiveness only takes place if I say I'm sorry and you say I forgive you or vice versa. But we're talking about a spiritual issue here, not just something on the human level. Gretchen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story. I know that's not easy. It's been years later, and you still, there's a lot of emotion as you go through it.
There is.
Before we go, though, I want you to pray for the wife who is in an abusive situation, and she really doesn't know what to do. She's right on the line of needing to get out of that situation to protect her family, still wanting to make this work. I want you to pray for the person who is separated and praying with all their heart that they see some change in that father or mother that really caused them to leave. Pray for the person who God closed the door on the relationship and they're doing their best to move on with their life, but they're seeing concerning situations in their lives of their children, as you said, whether anger or anxiety or fear or insecurity. And just pray for us all that our marriages would always be relationships that honor God. So I'd just like for you to close this time in prayer.
Lord, we come to you and acknowledge you as God of all. And Lord, just help us to give our lives entirely under control. The people out there, Lord, that are struggling in their marriage or struggling with the seeming hopelessness of it, you are the God of hope. Those who are struggling with the ability to forgive, you are the God of forgiveness. And those who are struggling with watching their children hurt and be angry and be in pain, Lord, you are the God of healing, and you love those children more than their parents ever could. And Lord, just help us to so give our lives to you, so submit to your lordship, that we can say, Lord, just guide us and lead us daily, one step at a time. And Lord, you are there, and you give us light for the step that's in front of us. That's all you promised, and it's all we need. Mm. And I ask, Lord, for those who are hurting, my heart goes out to them, Lord. Just so minister to them comfort, encouragement. You are the God who restores. You are a God of redemption. You are a God of rebuilding, Lord. I just commit all of this into your hands, Lord, your mighty hands and your hands of love, and ask that you'd minister to all those who hear, that they will press hard into you and see that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast.
Are you concerned about our society's drift away from lifelong commitment in marriage? Do you worry about that influence on your children's view of matrimony? And just what is God's design for marriage anyway? Well, those concerns are addressed in Ron Moore's free guide titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. In this publication, Ron conducts a grace-filled examination of the issues that are crippling our families and dividing our society. Drawing from landmark studies and biblical instruction, he offers encouragement for those seeking to build a God-honoring home. What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality is yours free of charge as a digital download. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org.
Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Living together seems to make sense, but it doesn't work. Why is that? Living together doesn't work because it ignores the biblical love package. Let me show you from Scripture why living together is not in God's plan. Song of Solomon is a book that addresses the passionate love between a husband and a wife. And in the book Song of Solomon, there are three Hebrew words that describe the three essential components of a strong marriage relationship, a biblical love package, we'll call it.
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's free guide, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality is yours with a visit to ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.